1. But the fruit of the Spirit is. The Bible did not say the fruit of the Spirit are. So when you are reading your Bible, every word has importance. Do you understand that? Even the is, the I, the it, all of them has meaning. So if you just look at them as just, you know, small words that don't have meaning, you miss the meaning of the entire text. But the fruit of the Spirit is. So how many fruit of the Spirit do we have? We can close if you have learned that today. What are the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit? What are the manifestations of the fruit of the Spirit? How many manifestations? 9. Can we name them? Number 1. Number 2. Number 3. Number 4. Number 5. Number 6. Number 8. Number 7. Number 8. Number 9. Number 10. Against such there is no law. Praise God. So today we want to look at the meaning of each of these fruits of the Spirit. We want to look at the opposite of it. And we want to look at the perversions of it. Now, who can remind me what we studied last Sunday? Last Sunday. What did we study last Sunday? 8 virtues of the mind of Christ. Is that not so? Today we are looking at 9 virtues of the mind of Christ. What are the 8 virtues of the mind of Christ that we looked at last Sunday? What text did we use? What text? James chapter 3, verse 17. Can we mention those 8 virtues? Number 1, number 2, number 3, number 4. Some people are just looking. Number 4. Number 5, number 6, number 7, number 8. Why are some people just looking? Were you not here last Sunday? Or you have eaten rice, beans, and all that and forgotten it? You know, the essence of this teaching on Sunday, you see that our preaching Sundays now is different from the way it used to be. Is that you will go on with something and your life will become something. Now, we'll take that again. What are the 8 virtues of the mind of Christ? We'll learn from James chapter 3, verse 17, last Sunday. Everyone, open your mouth. Even though you miss it, just say something. In class, in my class, nobody fails. It was when I was a teacher that people used to fail. But now that I'm a pastor, nobody fails. Do you understand that? Okay, so let's go again. The 8 virtues of the mind of Christ. Number 1. Number 2. Number 3, number 4, number 5, number 6, number 7, and number 8. Honest. So today, as we begin to measure your thoughts and actions against the perfection of Christ, God will continue to renew your mind to reflect the virtues of Christ. Your growth in Christ's character can only be measured by Christ's perfection. I will take that again. Your growth in Christ's character can only be measured by Christ's perfection. Now, your growth in the character of Christ or having the attitudes and attributes of Christ is not measured by Pastor Tammy's own perfection because Pastor Tammy is imperfect. Did you get that? Hello? Your growth in your Christian Christ-like character is not and should not be measured by any bishop's character or perfection because there is no bishop that is perfect. Do you get that? Hello? I'm emphasizing this because a lot of people are backslided because they see a man of God do something wrong. True of us. Hello? A lot of people have drawn back in serving God because they see a Christian they're supposed to be up there do something wrong. They forget that so long as we are on this earth, we are all striving towards what? Perfection. None of us is perfect until we see him face to face. Then we shall be like him and see him as he is. Amen. No pastor is perfect. No bishop is perfect. No apostle is perfect. No, what name did they carry again? Is perfect. No church member is perfect. So when it is very dangerous to measure your character in Christ with another man's perfection. Now, how should you measure your character in Christ? You measure it by the perfection of Christ. Is that not so? Christ's perfection. How do I know that I am doing well in my Christian life? I have to look at the life of Christ. Don't look at the life of Pastor Tammy, because Pastor Tammy too is also working hard. For work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Pastor Tammy is also working out his own salvation with fear and trembling. So in doing that working out of his salvation, he might make a lot of mistakes. True of us. So if you want to measure your Christ-like character with my own Christ-like character, you will backslide. In fact, you miss the mark. Wrong measurement. In mathematics, when you have wrong measurement, what happens to you? I mean, what answer will you get? Matthew, when there's wrong measurement in mathematics, what do you get? So, if you don't use the appropriate formula, no matter how you calculate, where will you end up? Wrong answer. If I knew this thing before, I wouldn't have failed maths in my secondary school. In maths, what is important is formula. So long as you know the formula, you will be able to get to the end. So also, the formula of your Christian growth is who? Jesus. Not any man, not any deacon. So if any deacon shit for church, say, if this deacon can do this, wow, this church people serve. Then they do like saying, I'll be holier than thou. Hey, what is my own? That means I can do worse. That person is measuring his Christian growth by another person's Christian growth. Forgetting that everybody is working out their salvation. Do you know the Bible says the righteous will fall how many times? Why would the Bible say the righteous will fall 7 times? I said they should surely rise again. You know, to fall does not mean about this physical fall. It might be that you fall to sin and you rise again. The difference between the righteous and the unrighteous is that the unrighteous fall to sin and remain there. The righteous fall to sin and get up. That is the difference. It's like a goat, a dog, and a pig. If a pig falls into potopoto, what is potopoto? Muddy water. For our international audience. If a pig falls into muddy water, will the pig want to come out? If a dog falls into muddy water, will he want to come out? And as he comes out, what will he do? He will shake it off. Now, in this lesson, I want you to understand the difference between these 9 virtues of the mind of Christ that we are looking at today. Can we begin? The first virtue is what? Love. Somebody say love.
Love.
The clearer expression of love in the Bible is unlimited giving of self to others. That is the expression of love. What is love? Giving up yourself, unlimited. Somebody know the word unlimited giving up of yourself to who? To others. Who can tell me the scripture that back that statement in the Bible? Bible student. What scriptures can back that statement? Oh, if you want to talk, raise your hand. This is Bible class. Okay, you are raising your hand. Even though you are stretching, I answer. Oh, yeah, now I'm waiting for you. You don't know? Okay. Remember the verse. Sit down. You have to remember the word of God. They tried. Who can remember the places found in the Bible? Eh? John 15:13. Greater love has no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. To lay down your life for your friends is unlimited giving up of yourself for others. Now, this text, Jesus was once speaking in this John 15:13. And Jesus was not telling them what they should just do. Jesus was telling them what he will do. Is that not so? Did he lay down his life? He did. Can we say John 15:13 together? Want to go? Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. John 15. Can we say it again? Want to go? Wait. Start from when I say it together, you say John 15:13 first. Okay. That's you go to children to learn how to say memory verse. Okay, one to go. Some people are catching up. Let's say it again so that they can catch up. One to go. Now, what controls the way we love is the love of Christ. The love of Christ should control your love. 2 Corinthians 5:14, Paul said, it is the love of Christ that compels us. Now, what makes us to love is the love of Christ. I come again. Don't love because of the love of man. Hello? Don't love because of what? Why should you love? The love of Christ. A lot of us have problem with love because we are compelled and controlled by the love of men. If you not visit me, I not visit them. GG, God no go vex. Amen. If they not greet me, means they are not greet. Everybody stay their own. If they feed me, I'm trying to be practical here. Is that not what we say? So when you say all those things, what is compelling your love? The love of man. But the Bible says it is the love of Christ that compels us. Amen. Even if I don't want to greet this sister, because there's something compelling me. What is that thing? The love of Christ. I have to do what? Breathe. Have you ever been in a situation where somebody is angry with you and you greet the person does not answer? The next day you greet the person does not answer. You stand in front of a person and say, "Are they greet, oh?" The person do as if human being is not there. Now, I'll tell you a story. I didn't even know I offended this lady some years ago, very long time ago. I didn't even know I offended her. So, but I knew when I was coming to her house and she saw me through the window and locked the door. I saw that she has locked the door, but I still went to knock. So I knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked and knocked. I'm seeing her through the window. So after some time, she observed that I'm seeing her, so she came and closed the window. People can carry people for mind, though. So I left. Anytime I see her in church, we're in the same church. Anytime I see her in church, I will greet her. In fact, we're in the same unit. She will not answer. I will go to her friend and say, I'd agree to. She will not answer. People, other people will greet. But I had my own greeting, it will spoil the whole. But I keep on greeting. One day, after several months, somebody came and said, Sister So-so say she wants to see you. I said, Lord, I thank you. Now, that does not mean the human nature of myself was not in play. At the time, I said, what is wrong, self? Is she feeding me? What am I even looking for? That I will be killing myself for this thing. But somehow, something was compelling me more than myself. If I see her again, I greet. So after several months, she sent for me. And I went and I sat down. She said, I am very sorry for all the time you greeted me and did not answer. That each time you greet me and I did not answer and I get home, there's as if fire is on my head. I remember Romans 12 that says, do not pay evil for evil. If your enemy is hungry, feed them. By so doing, you are heaping live coal on their head. She said, I can't bear it anymore. That is why I sent for you. Do you understand? Somebody lift up your hand and say, the love of Christ compels me. From today, I will not be controlled or compelled by the love of man. So help me, God. Now, what is love? Love is affection. Someone say affection. Love is affection. Love is compassion. Love is benevolence. Love is adoration. That means if you say you love somebody, you must have what? Affection towards that person. If you say you love somebody, you must have compassion towards that person. If you say you love somebody, you must be benevolent to that person. If you say you love somebody, you must adore. You must adore that person. We must learn to adore each other. If you say you love that person, then love is commitment. Someone say love is commitment. Say it again, love is commitment. So you must be committed to each other. Husband and wife, love is commitment. Love is not, I love you, I love you, I love you with mouth. I love you must show how? In your commitment. Now, understand me, don't misunderstand me. Women like you to say, I love you. He's not married, don't mind him, ignore him. Amen. How many women here, you are married, or married women, don't answer. Married women, you like your husband to tell you always, I love you. Raise your hand. It's very good. There's nothing wrong. Please, men, repent and be saying it, I love you. But as you are saying, I love you, let the love of Christ compel you to be sincere. Because one of the virtues of the mind of Christ is what? Sincerity, honesty, that we looked at last week. Amen. So if you are sitting close to your wife as a man, can you tell her I love you? Some men are not talking. If you are sitting close to your wife as a man in church, tell your wife, turn to your wife and say it with confidence, with sincerity, with honesty, with truthfulness, that I love you. I heard one say, I love you. Praise God. No, now whoever you are sitting by, you know there's difference between I love you and I love you. There's I love you that is eros, and there's I love you that is filial or storge, brotherly love. Are you getting me? So this one I want to say now for you to say to your neighbor, it's not eros. So you must know the difference in your heart. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor, I love you? Now wait, if your neighbor just did like this, I love you, that person does not love you. Because love has what? Compassion. Love has empathy. Love is, there's affection. Is that not so? Is somebody that just said, I love you? Where's the affection? Oh yeah, let's do it again. Can you tell your neighbor, I love you? I love you. Praise the Lord. Can you say after me, love is affection. Love is compassion. Love is benevolence. Now, when we say love is benevolence, sometimes love requires you, now not sometimes, all the time, love requires you to give. Love without giving is not complete. Come, it seems people are enjoying this teaching too much. Let me switch to... Anybody that says, I love you, it's not giving you is our time, finances, talent. What again? If you love me, you have to give me your car. Amen.
Amen.
Love requires giving. Now, even in marriage, any love without giving is a sounding cymbal. For God so loved the world that he gave. Somebody say, he gave.
He gave.
How did God show his love for the world?
He gave.
He gave. Can you tell your neighbor, any love without giving is not complete? Amen. How many of you are blessed already? So learn to give. Be benevolent. Be benevolent. Be open-handed. For it is more blessed to give than to receive. The benevolency of God was manifested in the giving of his one and only begotten Son. Can someone say love is commitment? So you have to be committed to each other. We have to be committed to each other. As a pastor, I am committed to you. Amen. I've had church members say, oh, pastor, I didn't call you because I don't want to disturb you. Then I'm not your pastor. Are you hearing me this morning? Oh, I was sick. I was going through this and I didn't want to just call because I didn't want to bother you. That means I'm not your pastor. Because I have the commitment by God to take care of you. Do you understand that? I have God's mandate. He says in Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 15, I will give you pastors after my heart. We will feed you with knowledge and understanding. That is my commitment to you. And to make sure you are okay, not just to feed you with spiritual food, to see that your physical well-being, you are okay. And you know, I'm not a spirit to know when you are sick in your home. True of us. Am I a spirit? Or you want me to be a spirit? Because it's my commitment to take care of you, you must tell me what you are going through. Even if I don't have money to give you, but I have prayers to give you. I have encouragement to give you. That is my commitment to you. My commitment to you is not just to preach to you. If pastoral ministry is just to preach, then it's the easiest thing to do. But preaching to you is not easy. How many of you say it's easy? If you say it's easy, wave your hand. It's easy. So that I'll just say, I hand over to you from next Sunday. Amen. Amen. Yeah. You also have commitment to your pastor. Huh? So love, if you say you love your pastor, you must show your what? Commitment. And one of your commitments to your pastor is to be in church. Because if you are not in church, will he preach to the chairs? Somebody say love is commitment. Love is caring deeply. Caring deeply. Now, what is the opposite of love? Hate. Sometimes we don't know that we hate people. Animosity is opposite of love. Antipathy is opposite of love. Aversions, dislike, enmity, hostility, malice, gossip, vindictiveness. Do you know what is vindictiveness? I go show 'em.